More is you and Magic's Indulgence podcast. A little indulgence wherever you are with More Than, the insurer that does more.
It's Magic's Indulgence, our Sunday night show where we invite a celebrity to indulge in some of their favourite magic music. And this week, a pleasure to welcome my here and now touring buddy. I should have read that before. It's a pleasure to welcome a very good friend of Magic's own, Kim Wilde. It's a guy who's out on the Here and Now tour soon as well, with Kim Wilde. Rick Astley, welcome to Magic 105.4.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Are you looking very well?
Thank you.
Relaxed. Love the glasses as well.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the 42-year-old in front of you now, isn't it? You know what I mean?
They're a bit like Joe 90s glasses, aren't they?
Yeah, well, if you're going to wear a pair, you might as well make a statement, you know what I mean?
They're good glasses. Okay, look, first song choice from you is going to be a classic soul song by Luther. Why this one?
I just think he's just one of the best singers that's ever recorded. I mean, he's just an incredible... I think everything about his voice was incredible. His technique, his tone, everything. I know he was a backing singer originally, and there's perhaps, you know, not that many people have made that transition, but he was just an incredible, incredible singer and great songwriter, and it's just all-time classic. As soon as I hear that intro riff, I'm on the dance floor.
Brilliant. Song choice number one on Indulgence tonight from Rick Astley, on the dance floor and grooving to that funky bass line. That is great. Luther Vandross, Never Too Much. And what a silky voice that man has.
Yeah, it's just incredible. I mean, I think, you know, there's certain people who can sing with technique and, you know, do certain very clever things, let's say, as he certainly could, but also a tone to his voice that was unmistakably him, do you know what I mean? He's just a legend.
Because he can do the ballads and he can do the dance tunes as well, can't he?
Yeah, and, you know, he used to write all of his own songs, pretty much, or an awful lot of them as well, and... Yeah, just real talent.
Yeah, well, very sad that he's not around, but Rick is certainly around, and you're out, like I mentioned before, on the Here and Now tour, which must be a bunch of fun for you, really.
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird one, to be honest, because if someone would have asked me to do it, let's say, 10 years ago, I would have run a mile, I think. And I went to Japan to do a little tour like this, first off, so that was kind of out of the way, and it was, you know... I could put my toe in the water, but I really enjoyed it. It's a bit odd to be singing those songs after all these years, and I know I kind of at times have said I'd never do it. But it's good fun. I get paid well to do it as well. I'll never shy away from it, you know, admitting that. It's one of the reasons I do it. But I actually, when I'm up there, I forget about all of, you know, life's kind of boring side, let's say. Do you know what I mean? Some of the things that, you know, kind of get us all down and all the rest of it. And you're up there and you pretend you're 21 again. And, get to relive a few memories for myself. You know, never mind the audience reliving a memory. I get to do it as well. So.
And you covered this song, which I thought you did a great job on at the time as well. And I haven't heard your version for a long time. So let's play it. Nat King Cole did it first, of course.
Yeah, When I Fall in Love. I mean, to be honest, Nat King Cole's version is better. There's no way around it. We're talking about Luther Vandross before. I mean, Nat King Cole, what a talent, what a voice. I mean, they don't make voices like that anymore. You know, him, Frank Sinatra, let's say, it's just incredible. So.
Well, you gave it a good shot there, I think.
All right, well, thank you. I was about 20 when I did that vocal, I think.
Brilliant, okay.
I've never heard anybody say, somebody else did it better than me.
I know
it's Nat King Cole, but...
Yeah. Yeah, there's no way around it, he just did.
So we're going to go into Bananarama on this one?
Yeah.
Yeah, lovely, okay. Sunday night and our indulgence programme, and we've got, well, I hope he doesn't mind me calling him an 80s icon, Rick Astley, who's with us today. Is that all right to call you an 80s icon?
Yeah, that'll do. I've been called worse, let's put it that way, so that'll do. Yeah.
And I remember reading about you at the time when you was kind of launched that, you know, you went, this whole thing about you went from T-boy to number one almost overnight. You were a T-boy, at the PWL studios where Pete Waterman... the Stock Aitken and Waterman team put their magic stuff together. Mm. Now, is that true?
Kind of. I did make a lot of tea for people, that's for sure. They signed me to make a record, and Pete basically said, look, do you want to come and live in London and just learn the ropes and see how things work here in this building? Because they were a little bit different, perhaps, to other producing teams and what have you. And so, and I jumped at the chance. I mean, the idea of living in London, and I was probably 19, 20 at the time, And I got to do my demos in their studios at night and at the weekend and stuff. So, but yeah, I made an awful lot of tea, including tea for Bananarama.
Which must have been a perk.
I mean, listen, the girls I think are really good fun. Obviously, I did this Here and Now tour, and they were on it last year as well. And they're always good fun, I think, you know. And I think they've got a real good sense of who they are and what life's really about. You know what I mean? Obviously, they go out and sing their tunes as well, just as I do. But I think they've got a good grip on it all. Do you know what I mean? And that's, as far as egos and everything, I think this Here and Now thing is well, the experience I had last year is pretty good because everyone's kind of got their egos in a box firmly and, you know.
Right.
And the, like I say, I've got good fond memories of, because the girls were basically having hits at Stockick in Waterman's Place. I was making tea for them and everyone else. And it was kind of like, you know, getting to see it firsthand. You know, you'd be around in a session where a record was made, and next minute, you know, as with this one, I think it was number one in America as well for them and stuff, this record, you know, so, yeah.
Amazing. So which one are you talking about then? From all?
Sorry, yeah. I think it was number one for them. Anyway, a song called Venus, and just a really great riff intro and everything again, and, you know, just as soon as you hear that song, you know where you are, you know, so.
Bang on the dance floor again.
Mm.
Okay, that's great, thank you. Magic's Indulgence, and Rick Astley is with us, picking out some of his favourite music. You're going to choose one of Magic's. You're going to choose one of our Kim Wilde songs in a moment, who does a show here on Magic 105.4. Have you ever thought of doing a bit of radio yourself, Rick?
I can't say as I've been chomping at the bit to do it, but I understand that the kind of, if you will, magic of it, because obviously you're getting to play, you know, music that, you know, you love as well sometimes, and. I guess sometimes as well, if you get to interview a few people, you know, that can be fun as well. So, yeah, I mean, who knows? I don't know whether I've got a voice for radio, to be honest.
You seem to me like it's almost a kind of a reluctant star in a way.
Well, I guess I have been that in the past. You know, when in my early 20s, when I was having my hits and stuff, I can't say as I was totally in love with the concept of being famous, really. Part of it, great, and part of it I loved. But there were times when you just thought, this is just ridiculous. You know what I mean? And also, there's a thing about being famous for doing something and doing it well. But most of the time, I used to go around miming on TV. So, I mean, you know what I mean? It's kind of not even, it didn't really feel very real a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you go out and sing for people at a gig, you feel, well, you know what? That's what I'm supposed to do. I've done it. I've done it to the best of my ability. They've liked it. We all go home happy. Great. Going on Italian TV after a juggling monkey or what have you, singing, you know, over a track, you know, or pretending to sing over a track, it doesn't fill you with.
You don't make it sound very glamorous.
Well, because it isn't, to be honest. You know what I mean? And you don't really kind of come home with a sense of achievement. Let's say, you know what I mean?
That monkey's doing well.
Oh,
now.
Oh no, he's classic. Yeah,
great career in Italy.
Yeah.
Who discovered you could sing then, Rick? When was the first time you thought, oh, I'm pretty good at this?
Well, I was in the church choir, the local church choir, and I was always picked to be in school plays and stuff to sing. But I started off by drumming, to be honest, and I still drum a bit now and what have you. I'm in a little band with some friends, and we play for fun, and we just do rock covers that we want to do. It's a bit of a midlife crisis, you know, but but we enjoy doing that. And I guess really when I got into bands and I started to write a few tunes, and you know, when it comes around to actually doing a demo for it and stuff, you end up doing it, and it was more falling into it, really. I didn't really want to be the front man, to be honest, and I guess that's pretty evident in some of the things that I've said in the past about, you know, I'm being a reluctant pop star.
Sure. Yeah. Well, let's play one of the tracks from Kim, who, as you probably know, is a presenter on this radio station, and is out on tour with you as well.
Mm.
Any memories of Kim back in the 80s?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously, Kim was really, really young when she had her first hits and what have you. I mean, like, I don't know exactly what age she was, but I think
she was
a teenager.
Like 17, 18, something like that.
And, I remember. I mean, she's still hot today, but she was very hot then as well. And, and also, I think it was kind of, it was, for me, she was a kind of a little bit like a Blondie, really, but a teenage younger. You know what I mean? Because she looked a bit punky, a bit edgy, and what have you. And
good look, wasn't it?
Great. Yeah,
the jacket and striking t-shirt.
And you know what? She's massive in Europe still. She's just huge gigs in Europe and what have you, and I'm sure other places as well. You know, and good luck to her. But she seems to be one of those people who's got a real, as I say, a good grip on it all, and has a real life outside of, you know, going back and doing her tunes and what have you, or doing a new record or whatever she does, you know. So, and I think that's that's always a sign of a real character, I think, if they can do that, you know. So,
well, let's play Kim's headline song. I guess she finishes the set with this one. It's Kids in America. Rick Astley is with us on Indulgence tonight, and you're out on the Here and Now tour, basically because Boy George can't make it this time around.
Yeah, I mean, it's very sad, that situation, I think. I mean, you were talking about icons before. I mean, he genuinely is an icon, I think. Mm. And I think he also changed a lot of things socially, never mind just with, you know, the music that he and Culture Club made. I mean, I remember being, you know, in clubs and what have you, and under-18s and what have you, and going to... listen to all, you know, pop music then, I think, was quite varied. There was a lot of different things going on. And when he came onto the scene, he probably brought something very, very different into the mainstream with his look, you know, the makeup and everything. And so it's quite, I think it's very sad, really, that, you know, he's innocent. But again, he's a really bright guy, I think. Yeah. And I've never really met him, to be honest, but, you know, things that I've read.
I think he's fascinating, isn't he? He's just, he's just one of those very interesting people, and I think we love him because of his flaws and because of his talent as
but
well.
But also, I think you very often see that people who are bright and are, I don't know, they've got a different view on life, very often find themselves, you know, in, I don't know, getting into trouble and what have you, because it's a bit like the Robert Downey Jr. thing, do you know what I mean? Yeah. He's obviously a very intelligent guy, and you know, he had a lot of battles, hasn't he, with himself, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's the reason why you're out on the tour this year. And you did Just the Two of Us, didn't you, a little while back, the TV show?
I started to do it, but I didn't actually do it. It's a long story, but basically my wife's a film producer, and she was nominated for in a short film category with the director, her and Sean Ellis, the director, and so we all went to the Oscars instead. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just one of those things. It's something that's only going to happen,
maybe,
you know,
so. Yeah.
Possibly once in a life. Hopefully for them it'll happen again, but you know, you don't know, and you just got to do it. So
I think you would always, you look back at your life and think, what would I rather do?
Totally,
just
yeah.
the two of us, or go and see my wife at the Oscars?
And, maybe I'm blacklisted now from doing various things at the BBC, I don't know, but I just felt, you know what, that's going to be, and our daughter came as well, and it was a life experience that I just think you just can't you just can't give that up, you know. So,
oh, good for you, Rick. I think you made the right choice. Another song choice from Blue Monday.
Yeah, it's I think when New Order did this record, I just think it was so different. It literally stopped everyone in their tracks, I think. It was fantastic record, and great to hear on the radio, great to hear in a club, just great anywhere. It's just it had such a unique sound.
Yeah.
And also from a band that, you know, had a history of doing stuff that wasn't really exactly, you know, it wasn't right in their bag, I don't think. Well, maybe it was just so different, I think, you know.
And you still hear it today, and it still sounds like it just could have been made yesterday.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just such a fantastic record. I think it's a bit of a yardstick for a lot of people in terms of, it was almost like after that, things changed a little bit, you know. Just from a production point of view and what have you, and just some of the things they did in it. It was almost like making a 12-inch record, but then it becoming a 7-inch single, and it was just, I don't know, it was brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Great. It never seemed too long, did it, either?
That's the
weird thing
about
it. So you hear some 12-inch songs, and then you think, oh, get on with it now. Yeah. We've heard it, but that one.
Have you ever heard the mix between that and Can't Get You Out of My Head?
Yeah, it's very good.
Can't Get Kylie Out of My Head, it's called, isn't it? Yeah, really good.
Yeah.
Well, it was a hit, wasn't it, I think? Magic 105.4, I'm Paul Fear. We're back with Rick Astley picking the music tonight for us on Magic's Indulgence programme. Can't let you go without talking about this this weird Rick rolling thing that's been happening.
Yeah, a bit strange. I kind of think it's going away a bit now.
Well, you say that, but let's just explain in case anybody doesn't know
what it is.
What is Rick rolling?
Basically, when somebody sends somebody a link on the net, you know, sends them a link to something, instead of it being what they thought it was, which might have been, you know, the winning throw in the Super Bowl or the FA Cup final goal or a girl taking a top off or what have you, that's what they think they're going to get to see because it says so in the little link. They end up seeing me singing Never Gonna Give You Up, the first video that I did. And
how did it start? How do you think?
I don't know. I just think some kid in America did it to just trick his friend, to be honest, and then it just kind of grew from that.
Yeah.
Which is why I think it's quite funny, because obviously he probably thought, that's the naffest video I've ever seen. That's what I'm going to send the link for. And it's just one of those, that's one of the things that's great about the internet. it's good for certain things. If you look at the stuff on YouTube occasionally, you can see people who've got or even their own website or what have you, young bands and or you know, older people who've got a new record and they don't know how to get it to people. That's one way of doing it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a load of junk on the net, obviously, as we all know, but there's some very interesting things out there. It's made me smile. Friends still keep sending me links to stuff. And
have you seen the Barack Obama one?
I have seen the Barack Obama one. Yeah, there's
it's extraordinarily clever.
Just the time it takes to cut up all his speeches, so he ends up singing "Never Gonna Give You Up."
What somebody has done is they've got Barack Obama and they've gone through all of his speeches.
Yeah.
They found him saying "Never" and "Gonna."
All the verses as well. Every word. Yeah.
I mean, if people have it's nothing bizarre. Better to do this evening.
Yeah.
Go into your search engine, put in, I think it's called Barack Rolling, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Have a look at that.
Yeah, put Barack Obama and my name and it'll come up there, yeah.
Hey, that's pretty good, isn't it?
You know what I mean?
Put the president of the United States of America
good
and
company.
My name in the
same... I don't know whether he knows about it, but good company. But there's also...
I would hope he has, because...
Well, there's one with Kiss as well, you know, the rock band Kiss?
Right.
And they actually do Never Gonna Give You Up. Someone's got a live version of it, I think, from somewhere, and then they've edited Kiss... so that all the drum fills work, all the little bass riffs, all the everything, and basically they are doing Never Gonna Give You Up. It's just brilliant. It's like, I'm sure they're not overjoyed about it, but it's just, I just think things like that are funny, you know, it's really funny.
There's people out there with lots of time on their hands, aren't they?
Probably, yeah, too much. Yeah.
Well, I think we should play it now, because it is one of the greatest songs of the 80s, and this drum intro is fantastic.
Can't get away from those 80s drums,
no,
can you?
No, but come on, Rick, be proud of it. It's a great pop tune.
You know what? I've said this before. I think it's the best song Stock Aitken Waterman have ever written. I think I'm really lucky, because I don't want to do any of the other artists down. I just think it was the best tune they wrote. Personally, I mean, perhaps I would say that because I'm biased, you know, and it also bought mine and my mum's houses. But I just think it's the best tune they wrote, you know.
Yeah, it is great. Well done.
As a drummer, did you ever sort of think, oh, just let me go in and do the drums?
They didn't really do anything. Like, I remember I took some percussion in one day to do some stuff on some of the songs I'd done, and everyone was freaking out, saying, don't let anybody see that, you can't bring that in here. And yeah, that was a bit odd, really. They just had ways of doing things, and that was it, and you know, that was the way it was. So you can't knock it. I mean, yeah.
Sunday Night Indulgence and Stevie Wonder. They're bringing back memories of just last year for my guest and myself. We both went to see Stevie at the O2, and for me it was like seeing a god walking in front of me.
It was incredible. I mean, you talk about people who can sing and write tunes, and he's got to be up there for anybody, I think. I mean, he's just... What amazed me about that gig was he played for a couple of hours, didn't he? And I think, like, the first hour, I was really into it, and it was great, and it was, oh, wow, I remember that one, and da-da-da, and all the rest of it, and band were great, he was singing great. And then he just went into overdrive for about 45 minutes. Every song he played, he just went, oh, my God.
And that one, and that one,
and then the next, and some he just segued one into the other, no introduction, just straight into it.
Yeah.
It was just amazing, and it to be honest, it's quite a humbling experience for anybody who's ever recorded or made a record and had a couple of hits or whatever, like myself. You go to that and you go, ah, yes, different league, different, you know. And I'm not doing myself down. I'm talking about a living, walking, breathing legend, really, I think.
Absolutely,
he's, you know, you look at the records he has made that have spanned from him being a teenager, you know, almost he was almost, gimmick is too strong a word, but he had some gimmick element about him. Obviously, he's blind, you know, and... you know, he's really young, a kid, you know.
Would have been easy for people to say, oh, the little blind kid.
But obviously the talent was there for him to grow into the artist that we know, you know. So, amazing, yeah. But he was so funny as well that night. He started doing this thing about having a Cockney accent.
Yeah, that's right.
It was all a joke, and he wasn't blind, really. South London, you know. And I just thought... Yeah. You know, just, I don't know, to have been through what he's been through in his life and to be able to have that at the end of it, it's just incredible, really,
We're going to get another song from you chosen before we play out tonight. You're going to go for Crowded House.
Yeah, Crowded House is a big one in our house, actually. it's Don't Dream It's Over is mine and my partner Lena's song, basically. That's our tune. And lyrically, I think Crowded House, I think a very unusual lyrical aspect to what they do, I think. I don't really know what this song is about, if I'm really honest, but the bits that mean something to us, you know, Don't Dream It's Over, and there are certain lyrics in this song that I think mean something to us, and And also, I saw them many, many times, kind of when they were at their peak and just before they really, really broke big in the UK especially. And I went to see them last year in Los Angeles. And just an amazing live band. I mean, great records, obviously, and he's such a fantastic songwriter, I think. In the modern sense, I think, as well, because obviously, you know, he's a great craftsman, if you like, if that's the right word, but also very unique, as I say, lyrically and what have you. But to actually see them live, they actually inject a huge element of fun into what they do as well, and they have a good laugh on stage and what have you, and yeah, just one of our favourites, and just a beautiful song, I think.
Don't Dream It's Over by Crowded House, which has to be the final song choice for our guest on the programme tonight, Rick Astley. And that, like you said, that's kind of your tune, you and your partner, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. That's the one. If it comes on the radio, I pull over these days now, obviously, folks, because you can't drive while you're on the phone. So I pull over and I put my mobile on and play it to my wife. And she does the same to me. So,
yeah. Bit of
romance. You've got to keep the romance going.
You do. Know? Well done for you for that, Rick. And back out on the Here and Now tour, all over the country, I guess.
Yeah. We're up and down the country doing the different arenas, pretty much what we did last year, really. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's fun, like I say. It's a fun night out. It's nothing to be taken seriously.
Who else is on the lineup? We've mentioned
Kim obviously. Kim Wilde, Howard Jones. I saw Howard last summer, actually, and it just absolutely brilliant. Kid Creole and the Coconuts, who, again, I've seen live.
Yeah.
And I just think he's a real character.
He's a star, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, brilliant. And who doesn't want to see the Coconuts? Altered Images, Claire, obviously, Brother Beyond, and Hazel O'Connor.
Wow, that really is an 80s lineup, isn't it?
Yeah, and big time, yeah.
I think May 23rd is your London date.
It is, London Wembley Arena, yeah.
Big.
Which, to be honest, was a really blinding gig last year. And I was a bit, London, they've seen it all, they've been there, done it all. But it was absolutely brilliant. It's really good fun. I had a lot of friends there as well, and I just had a hoot. I just enjoy it. Because I just try and enjoy it, you know what I mean? I may never do any of this, you know, in a couple of years, you know, so I just think, you know, I'll do it now and I'll enjoy it, so.
Good. Well, that's good to hear, Rick. Thank you for joining us tonight, and Mellow Magic is next on Magic 105.4.
Indulgence on Magic 105.4 with More Than. Doing more by carrying colour doodles on board our breakdown trucks to help keep your children smiling. You can download this interview in full at magic.co.uk/podcasts.